Good morning. Hope you're enjoying the rain and the heat and then the rain. It's all right. Every drop counts, doesn't it? What you see here is an old guy using a new method for notes. So hopefully that'll go well. There we go. They always tell you to run a backup. Well, I did. Here's my backup. In case things go really bad here. So we're going to talk about Genesis, and Genesis 1 in particular this morning. Things could be going bad already. We're there. In Genesis, we learn about God. In our society, God has been minimized, and the Bible's minimized, the Holy Spirit has been minimized, and especially the name of Jesus has been minimized. Not only has it been minimized, but in some cases, totally denied. So it's up to us as believers to get deep into God and know as much about Him as we can. So I want to start with the creation story, and then we're going to go to Philippians for a little bit towards the end. Let's turn to Genesis 1. I'm going to read the scripture for the first day. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth. The earth formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening and there was morning one day. So on the first day, well, in verse 1, I want to talk about four words there. In the beginning, now this is the beginning of us, not the beginning of God. God is eternal, so this is when time was created. Time started because God does not need time. He created that for us. The second one is God, and that's really good. It's the Hebrew word is Elohim, and that means plural, God in plural. Well, there's not more than one God, so what it's talking about is the Trinity. And the Trinity means Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and they were all there for creation. Take a quick look at John 1. Talks about Jesus being at creation. He was part of creation. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And in verse 14, if you'd read further, it identifies the Word as Jesus. So all three were there at creation. Then I want to talk about heavens. This is not heaven where we go when we die. This is heavens, like sky, and all the space where on day 4 God is going to put stars and planets. And then so God created, on the first day He created time, space, He created the earth, which was covered with water at this time, and then He created something, one more thing. The first recorded words of God is, "Let there be light." And there was light, and there was no source. It's amazing. All of creation is a miracle. Science will never prove creation because it is miracles. So yeah, this isn't working out. Let me just talk. Okay. And God saw the light, and it was good. God separated the light from the darkness. So I'm thinking that we have light over here, and we have darkness here. Then God I assume, started the earth spinning on its axis right there on the first day of creation. And what we're trying to do here is dig in deep into creation and see all the miracles that and how mighty God is. And when he was done with that, he said it was good. When God's, and then day two, start with verse 6. We'll read day 2. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning a second day. Now he separated the waters from earth, and he put waters up in space, and in between was the expanse, or what we know as where we live, our area. And the water above was most likely a vapor. Most creation scientists think it was a vapor because you can see through a vapor, sunshine could come through, and it would have created a greenhouse earth. It would have made perfect. Everything would have been perfect. Perfect weather for the plants and stuff that God would be making. Then the third day, let's read that. Start with verse 9. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place. Let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning the third day. A couple things to point out on the third day. God caused the sea to separate from the land, and the land was all there. And something I've never noticed till lately, it was separated the sea from the dry land. The sea was over everything, the sea separated, but the land was dry instantly. Another miracle. And he called the dry land earth. And then if we look at when he caused the earth to sprout with vegetation, plants yielding, it didn't just start with little seedlings. There were complete trees with fruit and seeds. Same with all the plants. They were ready for habitation. So God has created the world. He's created a good atmosphere. He's now created plants on the dry land that he created. Let's look at day 4. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning, a fourth day. Couple things to note here. First of all, the sun and the day. And, you know, I told you in day 1, light was created. So what happened to that light on the fourth day? Well, I don't know. But I assume that God made it part of the sunshine. So, and the other thing I wanted to point out was space. He made space. He made all the stars and the galaxies. I don't know if you've ever gone on the computer and looked up pictures of the galaxies. Just Google pictures of galaxies. It's beautiful. Beautiful creation that God made out there. The other thing I want to point out is that the light from the stars would take millions of light years to get to us. So God created it with the light in place so that we can appreciate it, see it, and know that he is creator. Okay. go to day 5. Then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. God created the great sea monsters, every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. Then there was evening and there was morning, a fifth day. Interesting, he said when he created this, the sea, the creatures in the sea, he called them sea monsters. So I do believe that God created dinosaurs when he created the earth. So that could have been some of them. We talk about the Loch Ness Monster and some of that other stuff that might not be true, but there could have been things like that in the sea. There were sea monsters and every other type of living thing that moves there. And during the winged birds, that could have been, like a dinosaur there, the pterodactyls, which I learned. I didn't know how to spell it, so I looked up how to spell it, and I learned there's a P on the front of it, but the P is silent, so it's P pterodactyls. So I got to wondering if letters are silent, should they even be there? But so, and it, God told them to multiply and increase. Let's go to day 6. Then God said, let the earth bring forth creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. God made the beasts and the earth after their kind and the cattle after their kind and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on earth. Then he goes on to talk about how he gives them all the plants to for food and the seed for food and all. But that's a big day. That's his crowning creation. He created animals, but then he created man. If you look in chapter 2, you'll see that God formed man out of dirt. He didn't just speak it into existence. He put himself into it. He formed man, and he breathed life into the man. Same with the woman. He took the rib from Adam and he made woman. That is his crowning creation. All of this was created out of nothing. There was nothing there. And then it was there after 6 days. He could have created it in an instant. He could have just said, be there, and it all would have been there. But he did it because he wanted to show us how much he cares and how he did it so that we can depend on him. Let's turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. In our life these days, nothing seems easy anymore. It seems like everything is in upset, chaos. Personally, I can't figure out the government, what's going on there, and I'm not talking about any particular party there. I'm talking about the whole thing. Then there's the sexual chaos that we have in our culture, all kinds of stuff. Then it goes personal. Then we have our own personal problems. We have loved ones who die, maybe early. I had a younger brother die. He was 4 years younger than me, and he died suddenly in his sleep. That's pretty tough. Pretty tough. But yet, Paul teaches us in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And there's an explanation point behind that rejoice. Rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to man. This is 4, verse 9 I started with. I don't know if I told you. The Lord is near. So how is it we can rejoice when our lives are this way? The Lord is near. Who is this Lord? This is the Lord, the God of creation. He's able to create everything out of nothing. And he tells us he loves us and he will care for us. Can we trust him? Can we learn to rejoice? I want to show you something King David said in Psalm 13 about rejoicing. It was Psalm 13. The first four verses of this chapter is a lament. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Have days like that? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. So things are not going well for David at this point. He's feeling pretty down. But look what he says in verse 5 and 6. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So we can rejoice in our salvation. We can rejoice that God has showed us loving kindness. And he will be with us. Should have kept my finger there. Back to Philippians 4. Then the next verse in Philippians, verse 6, 4-6, be anxious for nothing. That seems almost impossible to me. And quite frankly, I'm still working on that. It's easy to get anxious about things. It's easy to worry about things. It's easy to get anxious about coming up here and talking. It's easy to be anxious, but he says, be anxious for nothing. We can only do that through the Lord. We can only do that through the Lord. If we have come to faith in Jesus, we have help there. But in every prayer, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will that surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There's a promise there. Put everything in prayer, both what you need and your thanksgiving. Supplication with thanksgiving. Ask what you need and be thankful that God will answer in one way or another. Let your requests be made known to God. Talk to him. Talk to God. He created the world and he loves you. He loves all of us. And then I want to finish up with 8 and 9 as far as Philippians goes here. Finally, brethren, I'm just going to do verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, is there any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. How long do we spend dwelling on things like this? We have a lot to distract us, a lot of stuff going on, but do we take time to dwell on things like this? Yes, God's creation has been corrupted by sin, but there's still a lot of beautiful creation to look at out there. That's one thing we could do. We have the people we love. Do you dwell on that? That God gave you people to love, that love the you. Yes, there's probably some people that you don't get along with. Understand. But dwell on the things that are good. And if push comes to shove, I would suggest sit down with the Bible, turn to Genesis 1, and just slowly go through there and meditate on how wonderful God is and his creation. Not using my notes, I might have got done a little earlier. I would like to close with Psalm 120. 121. It's a psalm that we can personalize. This is one of the psalms that are called Psalms of Ascent. When the Israelites went to Jerusalem to do their festivals or their worship ceremonies or whatever they needed to do, there were several a year they needed to go to Jerusalem, they used these psalms, and it's called Ascents because Jerusalem was kind of on a hill, so as they're approaching, they're going up a hill. They use these psalms to sing and encourage each other. They use them to encourage each other, so... I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Bangor Liberty Friends Church will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade. On your right hand, the sun will not smite you by day, the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will give your soul. The Lord will guard you, your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forever. So I guess I'm just encouraging you to trust God, to take a deeper sense of God. Don't let society minimize God or what he can do for you. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time I had to share with these people. I pray that your word will work through our hearts this week and be an encouragement to us as we go our different ways. In Jesus' name, amen.